This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 41 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. Today our guest is Slave Pat, Southeast Leather Fesh title holder. Here's our hosts Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome back to another edition of the Kinky Cast. In the studio, it's full today, Beast.
Yes, it is. We have wall-to-wall beauty with us today.
It is nice.
We have a lovely redhead and this wonderful curvaceous blonde, and I've got them both in my eyes right now.
Well, you're not the only one.
Oh, we are lucky men, Woody. We're lucky men.
It is true. There's Chrissy over there.
Hello.
Many of our listeners will remember Chrissy, and I'm lucky enough to have two guests in the studio, Chrissy, and our guest of honor is Miss Southeast Leatherfest 2014, Slave Pat.
It's awesome to be here.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm really excited.
We're so glad to have you in the studio.
Now, later today, Pat will be making a presentation at a local organization that Chrissy represents. You want to give a shout out about your organization?
Sure. I'm one of the co-directors of MAST Nashville. We're the only MAST chapter in the state of Tennessee. Quite proud of that. And we've been serving the community since 2011. And today we're really delighted to have Slave Pat come and talk about her powerful message. We're so delighted today to have Pat present and share the powerful message that was well received at Southeast Leatherfest this year.
Woody and I and Kate, our correspondent Kate Kinsey, were at Southeast Leatherfest 2014 back in June, and our listeners can go back and pick up those podcasts. Do you know the numbers, Woody?
That's episode 24, Beast.
Thank you, Woody. And we got acquainted with Slave Pat at that point. And we were just awed and dazed even by this presentation. So, Pat, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Where does Pat's journey begin?
Oh, Pat's journey began when she was 50. She was a member of the TOG when she entered the lifestyle here. That is the older generation.
I forget that phrase.
I have a TOG group that I run in Nashville also for
that's
us.
Awesome.
For the we consider ourselves the other generation.
It started then, and Slave's Pat's journey travels in phases. She started out very quiet and very, very shy, and would barely speak.
And I have such a hard time believing that today.
Yeah, now people pay me to shut up.
So this has been a transformative journey.
It's been an amazing journey. It's totally changed my life.
And what drew you to this lifestyle to begin with?
I knew nothing of the lifestyle when I entered it. I was approached online, like so many. And when I talked to the gentleman that introduced me to it, I said, there is no way in hell I'm ever meeting this man. And but certain things that he said piqued an interest, a curiosity. And I did some research, and I started reaching out to masters online, and I was fortunate enough to meet one online that talked to me about who I was, about my prior life and how it actually related to this life, and about safety and about so many things. And the more I talked to him, the more I realized that I have been a slave most of my life.
So this was taking ownership of what you've been doing for your entire existence.
Absolutely.
Because I understand that you had some struggles, if we can go into that.
Sure, absolutely.
In your early life with some marital
struggles. My daughter and my son both are aware of my lifestyle, and they support me in it. But my daughter says, Mom, if Dad had been just a little bit different, you'd still be married and you'd be happy. We led a very, almost a high protocol life, BDSM master-slave lifestyle. Dinner was on the table at a certain time. I would remove his boots. I would put his boots on in the morning. There were expectations that I lived by, and they were done on a daily basis. And so I led a very much a master-slave lifestyle prior to this. Our only issue was that he liked to beat me and not consensual.
That's a problem.
You know, Pat, that's interesting because I have two marriages under my belt. I don't know if there'll ever be another marriage, but as you're telling that story, I'm recognizing a lot of that mm-hmm. in myself and in my history, and there were a lot of rules to follow. There was no physical abuse. There was emotional abuse and mental abuse, but there were, you know, there were protocols, and I was expected to do certain things, and that was it. That it was expected, and I complied.
Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting, the parallels. And, mm-hmm. and I realize that there's a difference between someone who's dominating and someone who's domineering.
Absolutely.
And it took me quite a while to figure that out. And when I did, it was like, oh, eureka, right. What have I been doing? What an idiot.
But after my divorce, I went into that. There is no man who is ever going to tell me what to do again.
Oh.
Never,
never,
ever.
Never say never.
Never say never. Once I found this and what it was all about, I cannot see me in a vanilla situation again.
I think that the journey you went through, we have saw this paralleled over and over in other people.
Oh, absolutely.
Is somebody looking for dominance, and they find it in the wrong ways in the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
So at 50, all of a sudden, you find yourself free.
Yeah.
For the first time in many years, and what was that like?
Well, actually, I didn't find myself free exactly. I was married when I found the lifestyle.
Oh, okay.
I was married.
This was the first marriage or second marriage?
This is my
second marriage
now.
Okay.
My first one ended when I was 30. And then I was remarried, and we moved to South Carolina from Pennsylvania.
That was a big change.
That was a big change.
From the blue to the gray.
Yes, absolutely. Now, my mother is from the hills of Tennessee, so I say I am only half Yankee. And my second marriage, well, obviously was not real great because I'm no longer in it either. But he had suffered with depression. And I finally said, when I found this, I said to him, I said, you have a choice. I said, you can take something for your depression, and we will continue to live together, and I will, you know, support you and be the wife that you want me to be, or I'm going to find my happiness. And he said, do what you got to do.
And that was a hard decision, I know, but...
Yeah, it took about 10 seconds.
10 seconds, okay. So you had been exploring the edges of BDSM, DS, MS up to that point.
Yes.
And now you have freedom again.
Now I have freedom.
And what happens?
Oh, so many things happened. I went through the Velcro collars. You know, this dominant's the best dominant in the world, and that dominant was the best dominant in the world, and this dominant was the best dominant in the world.
They all were best.
Yes, absolutely. It was
at
amazing.
At that moment.
It was amazing
moment,
how
yes.
I found the best of everything.
Yeah.
I actually attended Master Taino's Training Academy in D.C.
Oh, that's an excellent school, I hear.
He is an amazing man. His staff is absolutely wonderful, and I'm still very close to them. I was actually fortunate enough to attend, as part of the slave staff, one of his master's trainings.
Oh, wow.
And that was just as enlightening as the slave training was for me. But that gave me my first jump from the doormat into a little bit less of a doormat, if you will. And it made me aware of things that I was not aware of, such as I need to be who I am, and there's nothing wrong with being who you are. It made me aware of needs and wants and a little bit more of what I was looking for.
And that others were looking for the same thing. And there was a community and a whole structure there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Where were you finding information and who were you learning from up to this point?
I was very fortunate. And part of my message that I delivered when I ran for Miss Self was that we need to watch out for the more mature generation coming into the lifestyle, because I was very fortunate and I attended some munches and was fortunate enough to meet some wonderful people. One of the most wonderful masters that I'd ever served.
One of the most wonderful.
Introduced me to Master Taino's Training Academy. I believe it was quite prestigious if he would have a slave to that attended.
We D-sorts do have a bit of ego.
However, that didn't last long, because before I even got to the training academy, we weren't together anymore.
So his ego took a blow there.
Yeah, a little bit.
You were listening to people around you, and you had found a good group of people. But you had went out to the munch, is that?
Yeah, that's where it started, was through the munches. And then I did some online stuff. I did gore.
Oh, you did gore?
Oh, yes. I did those formal tea serves and all of that. And it took me maybe a year and a half to figure out, this just is not working. I want the real thing. You know, I can tell you that, you know, I'm kneeling, but somehow or another, this just ain't cutting it.
So you shifted from the gore, and now you're leather.
And now I'm leather.
We are still exploring leather with mm-hmm. podcasts. Help us understand it.
Actually, I just learned a new word from somebody that I was talking to online, and it is felissimo. It is a Greek word. And it kind of describes leather, and it's, I don't know that it has a specific definition, but it is, it's respect, it's loyalty, it's honor. It's what so many people want to describe leather as. So I really like the word. And it's just a good description of what leather is. Leather is your heart. I get choked up, so forgive me. Leather is just you. It's who you are. It's integrity. It's love. It's just a lot of really cool things.
When we attended the Southeast Leather Fest in 2014, that was the second time I've been to Self. And I believe that was Woody's first time, wasn't it, Woody?
It was. It was amazing.
And we both took away, or I took away for the first time, a greater appreciation of the unity.
Sense of family.
Sense of family that you find in the leather community.
Yeah.
That is not always so common in the BDSM. Which is a much broader community.
Right.
And leather is a subset, but it's not a subset. It's complicated there.
It is very complicated, and I hate when people ask me what leather is, because it's just, leather is different to everybody, but yet it's not.
Well, I notice you're not wearing a bit of leather. Pat is is dressed today, but she's not got a bit of leather on. It's not about the wearing.
It's not about the wearing of leather. Leather is a very important part of my life. And actually, leather became important to me when I was a teenager, when I was younger, because I had horses. And it seemed like I was drawn to the leather, you know, when I needed to get away. It was, you know, let's put on the saddle and the bridle and take care of it. Or, you know, let me just go out and chill out and soap the, you know, clean the saddle, and, you know, so I became a bootblack.
That's where I was going to segue into. Maintain your horse tack was a ritual and a meditative process for you.
Right.
And you later discovered bootblacking. and tell our listeners what a bootblack is.
Bootblacking, we tend to think of ourselves as the partiers in the lifestyle. We are absolutely the historians of the lifestyle. We're the ones that get to sit at the feet of whoever and listen to their journeys as we bootblack, as we take care of their leather, as we polish their boots, or sometimes have these erotic hot scenes when we're doing somebody's corset or their vest.
Or someone's leather trousers.
Leather trousers.
Yes, I had this most incredible impromptu scene with Boy River when he took care of my trousers.
Yes.
With me in them. It was when I developed my first appreciation
for
the bootblack. And Woody, at Self, I think, had quite an intense experience.
It was amazing. It was just my boots, and I did learn about the trousers and the vest, which I am now adding to my future requirements. But we did an interview with Tidbit, which is one of the...
Tidbit is awesome.
Amazing boot black. And between the two of us, we did color and play-by-play of having my boots done. And that's in the Self archive. There's a link on our archive page to hear that one.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Now, you're talking about the meditative process and step-by-step process of, you know, beginning to end. But I'm thinking more of the energy exchange that happens and how powerful that can be and how close you can become with the person while you're doing that. I think it's fabulous. I've never experienced it, but I'm sure it's fabulous.
The energy is amazing. Once again, it's hard to describe these things unless you're experiencing them.
I'd like to go back a minute. You were talking about leather, and, you know, this is kind of a hot button for lots of people because everybody has their own interpretation. But I really feel that the leather that we see now is completely different than what I always thought of as leather. And, you know, I'd see leather men, and I think they were really hot in their clothes. And this was, you know, in the 70s when I was waking up, and in the 80s, you know, you'd see the guys, but they were always gay guys, generally gay guys, and they were, I just couldn't relate. I didn't understand it. But I think that it's changed a lot or evolved over the decades into something different. Am I wrong?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Nothing ever stays the same. And that's good and it's bad. But some of the things that have stayed the same, I think, are like the meaning of the boots. And one of the most significant boot blackings that I have done has been with a vanilla person, actually. And I worked with this girl. I'm a nurse, and we were working. Her husband was dying of lung cancer. And she came to work one day and she said, I just picked out all of his clothes, but I don't know what shoes I'm going to have him wear. And I said, well, what did he like to wear? And she says, he's got these old ratty boots that he always wore to everything. She says, but they're terrible. And I said, do me a favor. And now she was aware of my lifestyle. You could always see that there was judgment, but yet she never said anything to me. But you could always, you know, you spot it. And I said, just bring me his boots. And she did. And I took them to a shoemaker or cobbler. And I said, put new soles on these boots. Don't do anything else to them. Put new soles on these boots. And he did. And I picked them up and I took them home. And I cleaned them, and I polished them, and I just did a lot of care to them, and I took them back to her, and I told her the story of what those boots represented, and I said, Deb, I said, please let him wear these boots. And she did. He was buried in those boots.
What a wonderful, loving story.
But I explained that those boots represented his journey.
There's not a dry eye in the studio right now.
I explained that they represented his journey through his life because that was what each step was taken in. And so it really made her understand a little bit more about our lifestyle. And that just because I wear leather and I say I'm leather, that it's not something that is just all sex and chains and beatings and, you know, and terrible things being done to women
or men
or whatever.
You won a bootblack title in 2010. And the bootblacking contest is actually divided into a technical part where you're stressing the technical aspects of the process of bootblacking.
Right.
But also there is much more than just the technical side of it.
Oh, gosh.
There is the spiritual and the...
Very much a spiritual side to bootblacking.
And the... I have heard you all called the bartenders of the community because you're there mm-hmm. to listen like a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
A historian. As you have pointed out, because you gather many of these stories and you pass them on.
And we pass them on.
In a verbal tradition that isn't mm-hmm. often from person to person or from group
right.
to group and not always in a written form. So
right.
it's a very powerful magic that you do
yeah.
in the bootblack. And I've found appreciation for them now. So.
Oh, yes. All you have to do is have your boots done once or your leathers done once, and you will gain a new appreciation. And it's not the same going to the airport and sitting down in a shoe shine stand and having somebody shine your shoes. It is, you know, it may look the same at eye level, but experience-wise, it is an amazing experience.
It is a spiritual journey for both sides.
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit about these boots that you did for this friend of yours. Let's talk about the symbolism of the leathers, of the different parts, from the boots to the cap, or the cover, as it's called. Because a lot of our listeners don't know the leather lifestyle. Can you just tell us a little bit about the different objects?
Usually the belt is the first piece that a person will earn. My first piece actually was my vest, and that was when I won the first title. And while I wasn't given the vest per se, I was given the patch, you know, so it kind of goes hand in hand. The boots are definitely your journey. And what you travel within the lifestyle, you know, and then your cover. And I actually saw the capping of a slave, and I had never seen that before. Master Sergeant's private. He capped his slave. Now, normally, you would see a master covered. And he called it a capping and stated that there was a difference between a capping and a covering. It's not something I was familiar with, but it was very touching and very
And there's
amazing.
A lot of individuality in the ceremonies and the transitions.
Right. The covering is done of a master by the community. It can be done by a slave when she recognizes her master as master. But again, it signifies that you're an elder in the community and you've gained the right to a certain amount of respect, someone that you would look up to.
These ceremonies, as I say, are very individualized.
They are.
A lot of the mythos that we built in
yes.
is just myth
yes.
and legend, but that just shouldn't discourage anybody from developing their own.
Many times they will say in the earlier lifestyle that, you know, there was no ceremony, that somebody come in and just here.
Yeah.
You know, they might be giving you their old boots and, yeah. you know, here's your leather boots, you know, or just hand you a cap and then you are a covered master.
Or you just go down to the store and buy a full suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems to be more today that it's more formal, you know, many times there's much more ceremony involved to it.
In 2014,
yes,
you began the journey to the title. You were told by some that you were unsuitable for this journey.
No, that's not what they said.
What did they say?
they said I was so old, I better run now. I might be dead by next year.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Oh.
And that was by a friend of mine.
It's a good thing they're friends.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be otherwise.
Actually, it's someone that I'm very, very close to. And I forget how it started, but it started like a year or 2 years ago. And it started as a joke.
But it gave you the seed.
It did.
For your platform.
It did.
And what is your platform?
My platform is that we have so many of the more mature generation that are coming into the lifestyle that we need to welcome them and teach them equally as we focus on the TNG, the new generation. You know, we talk about we have to teach our young. Our young need to learn our protocols and what's important in the lifestyle. But so does the more mature generation coming in. We've got the divorcees and we've got those who are widowed. And they don't have to be concerned now. They've lost their spouse and they don't have to be concerned now that when they say, I really would like to tie you up and beat you, they're not saying, oh my God, how sick can you be? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about supporting their family anymore. And are they going to lose their job if they are found out? And they probably don't have to worry about the kids walking in on them anymore like they did it, you know.
But there's still such a difference in educating and enlightening this group versus the TNGs.
Exactly.
They have life experiences that they're bringing to this. Very valuable.
Very valuable.
Life experiences, and we can't dismiss those. We should not even.
No,
consider
we should
dismissing
not.
Those experiences.
But we do need to reach out to them and guide them and let them know that this journey is an amazing journey and that they're not too old to take this journey.
Well, 50 is the new 30, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. In my case, it's 60 is the new 30.
Well, 60 is the new 30.
You said you came in the lifestyle at 50.
At 50.
And where are you now?
I am at 62.
And going strong.
Going strong. Yeah. I motorcycle, I kayak, I whitewater raft. I do all kinds of things that I didn't do when I was 40. 30.
Well, okay, so with this title, you're now on the road a lot.
A lot. A lot. I have been in 5 of the states that I represent. I believe there's 9, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm over half. It's only my first quarter of my title year. And I've been in three or four states that are not in my particular region. So I get around for an old girl.
Well, you're doing fantastic. And the message you're carrying is amazing. I've seen you at the Southeast Leather Fest when you got the title. And there wasn't a dry eye in the audience then.
Including mine.
Yeah, especially yours.
When I ran, I thought, well, okay, I'll run. I'm so used to being in the background, you know, I'm the one that, you know, runs and gets this and runs and does that. And you know, I'm not used to being in the forefront. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll run and then I'll go back to being running here and doing this and doing that. And the next morning, I had such a tremendous reaction from the young and the older that I delivered such an amazing message, and it was really overwhelming. It was really amazing to me. So it gave me a sense of, while I knew there was a sense of responsibility, it really smacked me in the face, so to speak.
And the Kinky Cast being there, we felt the need to bring you to the Mass chapter here and to capture your message for our listeners, for a much broader spectrum.
I am really excited. You all have been absolutely amazing. Everybody and everywhere I have gone has been amazing. But I really can't say enough thanks to all of you.
You're most welcome. Let me say that in front of you.
Thank you.
But I'm definitely seeing, I've been at this for 20 years now in this local community and building a community and networking. I'm definitely seeing a influx of a lot of new people, but I'm seeing a lot of the people rediscovering life after the careers, after family now that we didn't see earlier on. They were just, if they were past a certain age, they just put this on the shelf and totally forget about it. And now we are approaching this in a totally new way. We're seeing a lot more of these people. Chrissy, what's your observations?
I've noticed that there are a tremendous amount of new folks coming in. I don't know that there's any one particular age group. I don't know the reasons why, if it's curiosity, if they're inspired by the media, if they're answering an inner call. But I see a lot of young people. That's what I see more, a lot of young people. And I think that they need to learn from the old people, and they don't want to. They're intimidated or shy, or I don't know what it is. So MAST, you know, works education and relationship building is what we're all about. And I like to see bridging and community building, and I'm all about education. And your message, I think, is going to be really good to help facilitate that and make people overcome their own barriers, their own personal barriers.
I'm one of the core members of our MAST group in Greenville.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes.
And for our listeners, we haven't done a MAST episode yet. Give us a tidbit on what a MAST chapter is about.
The mission statement, I don't recall it verbatim, but it's basically demystifying MS, and you don't have to be in an MS relationship to attend a MAST chapter, at least not ours in Nashville. We're open to anyone. Some are more restrictive as far as who they allow in, and that's their prerogative. But our chapter is open to anybody, any gender, any relationship status, and any role, however you identify.
MAST stands for Masters and Slaves Together.
Yes, that's what the title stands for, exactly.
Right.
But our chapter, because we feel there's a need to educate, that we want it to be open.
Part of their mission statement is you do not have to be a master or a slave. You just need to be interested, at least, in the dynamic.
Right, in the dynamic. And that's our perspective, to help educate from that perspective and to clear out some of the nonsense that people are fed and believe. Because basically what it boils down to at the end of the day is a relationship, and how to have a healthy, productive relationship in whatever unique arrangement that works for you, because we don't judge at all, as long as it's happy and healthy.
Absolutely.
That's what we're working on. And
absolutely.
Our conversations are, we take an idea and we peel it apart, and then we keep peeling and peeling and peeling. It's definitely not a 101 level usually. but that's good. You know, there's a lot of 101 education out there.
Absolutely.
What did you do in Greenville? What does the MAST Greenville chapter do?
We are a little bit more restrictive, only because we've chosen to have it in someone's home. Anybody is welcome. But we want to meet you outside the home first before you're invited in. We do that because we like to observe protocols. Sometimes it's hard with life as it is, you know, we're all busy, to be able to observe and celebrate those protocols. So we keep ours in the home. We are actually planning on doing some education outside because of the new movie coming out, 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. We at the Kinky Cast is working on part of that Beyond 50 project by Laura Antoneau. And that's going to be a watershed moment.
Yes.
Meaning of the community thing.
Laura Antoneau is an amazing woman.
Oh, you met her in...
Yes.
In Atlanta?
Yes, I've met her at a couple of different events that I've attended.
Now, if we could segue back a minute... We were talking about the situations that Tog finds himself in, the other generation finds himself in, about being free of such direct child responsibilities. As parents, we're never free of responsibility to our children. How did the family, you said you're out to your family.
Yes.
How did they process this?
My kids are awesome. It was, if that's what makes you happy. You know, my daughter found out first, and she found out because she had moved in with me after her divorce, and it was on my computer, and she said, "Mom, you really aren't very good at hiding things." I love to do leather work. So I was making some cuffs, leather cuffs, and I took the needle, which looks like a crochet hook, and it's tempered steel, so you can't cut it. And I was trying to do two straps together, and it went through both layers of the leather way deep into my leg.
Ouch, 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 ouch. Oh.
So I had to actually go to the hospital and have it removed.
Oh,
oh my goodness.
So here you go in with the cuffs and the, and the needle.
Yes.
And, oh, my.
And my daughter said, Mom, I had to tell Michael because it just loses all effect if he didn't know what you were making. So she outed me.
Oh, outed you to her brother. We are, the cast is working on a blooper show.
Oh, gosh, I have a million bloopers. I'm really good at bloopers. If it can happen to anybody, it can happen to me.
So they took this in stride that Mother was, was interested in this alternative lifestyle.
Yes.
That has a very sexual connotation,
yes,
to many people. And you were 50?
I was 50.
50 at this point.
Yes, but we know nobody over child-rearing years has sex anymore.
Of course, this is America.
What?
Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
What? Really? I didn't know that.
Neither, well, neither do I, but...
Chrissy, that thing you do is not sex.
Oh, good. What is it? Can I need to practice.
I guess we have the opportunity to give it a name.
Yes,
we're
going to redefine. So the Clinton rules don't count anymore?
Clinton rules don't count anymore. Listeners, email us through the cast. What should we call it?
What this do we
not,
call it?
It's not sex. It's not sex because we're over the age of childbearing. So what is it?
It's a lot of fun.
yes, it is.
What's in the future for Pat?
Well, we're deciding on whether and if and where Pat should run for international.
What are the options?
Well, we're not really sure of all of them. I think we're just going to let that one ride until we come up with more answers.
Yeah. The title system is a system.
It is a system.
Self is a feeder.
Is that correct? A feeder contest. IMSL is actually one of the ones they feed, and that's in San Francisco.
Which is International Miss Leather, right?
Right.
And that's not an ancient contest because IML is much older.
Right.
But it's one of the early,
yes,
female contests.
One of the female Will, Women's International Leather Legacy, which is an awesome contest.
Where is that?
That one is in Texas. And that was actually a couple of weeks after Southeast Leather Fest. And I volunteered there, and I actually ended up doing my first presentation at Will.
Oh,
you, yes, know, I'm curious now. I don't know the schematic flow of the competitions, and where can I find that information? You know, you said that Southeast Leatherfest is one of the feeder contests, but where do they connect, and what's the level? How do you go? How do you transverse this? I don't know.
I don't know that there is a roadmap.
I think it just falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That happens a lot.
But
you know,
IMSL,
what?
You have to have won a regional to get into IMSL.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I guess you would just need to go to someone involved in one of the other contests and find out who they feed into.
But now, you have done the leather contest couple times now.
Couple times.
It's a intensive roller coaster weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Because they have you running the whole weekend.
Whole weekend.
Under the microscope.
Yes.
But this really sharpens your understanding of yourself, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then you have this whirlwind year after your victory.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in and you said you've covered six of the states.
Five
of the states so far. What has this been like? I mean, you have in Nashville. I know you're staying with a host that that is sponsoring you. And that's the way it is often for your travels.
Very often. We get a travel fund to help with our expenses, but it is very
meager.
You find out ways to be very frugal, but very frequently, the organization that is sponsoring you will sometimes take up a donation. They will offer to let you stay in someone's home, quite often feed you. It depends on how far it is and where it is, you know. And I've been very fortunate. I have so many amazing, wonderful people in my life that it is, so far, we're doing okay.
So you meet these great people and you're building even more relationships.
Yes.
And gathering more stories and sharing those stories along the way.
Yes.
So this is a year that is, this is the scrapbook year, right?
This is definitely a scrapbook year. It's a year that I'd never, ever would have dreamt about in my whole lifetime, but it is quite amazing.
Because the Catherine Gross Southeast Leather Machine.
Catherine is quite a...
It's a powerful machine.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And all of the contests are, and they're all different, and they all have their own requirements and expectations.
So your advice is, don't be afraid to try it.
Don't be afraid to try it.
Because I noticed in self, there was apparently quite a bit of fear of the contest because we have a small group of contestants oftentimes.
Yes. Because I had no one run against me.
Well, you would have won regardless.
Not necessarily.
I'm going to be biased.
You have to meet a certain amount of points to be given the title. So it's not
a given.
It's not a given. And it has happened.
Yes, I have been there when it happened.
It was more frightening running against myself because I'm thinking, oh my God, how embarrassing if I lost to myself. But fortunately, I did not. And my run in 2014 was much, much different than my run in 2011.
And what was the differences?
I have grown so much more.
In just that short time.
This lifestyle has become very spiritual for me.
It's funny how that happens.
It is funny. You start out thinking, oh, wow, think about all that sex and all that hot stuff and all those good-looking guys in leather and on and on and on. And someplace along the line, I'm also a part of the Butchman staff out of Arizona, which is a quite an amazing weekend experience.
That's a transformational weekend.
It was definitely a transformational weekend. And I recommend anybody that has an opportunity to attend. We do take it on the road.
Wasn't Butchman's in Atlanta?
But that recently? Was where I attended my first.
So there's, for our listeners, there's much to explore out there.
Yes. And reach out to people. Ask questions. If you don't know, you're never going to, you know, even if you don't know, talk to people. Talk to the elders in the community. Talk to the people. We don't bite. Well.
Okay, yes.
Unless asked to.
Yeah, Chrissy's roommate is parading her bite marks on FetLife right now.
Yes, because they had a good time.
So your first step was
the munches. Yes. Start attending the munches. And for more than just to learn about the lifestyle, it's a source of safety for you, for the new people. Get to know the people in the munches and the people who are running it. And ask questions when you meet somebody. Are they safe? Don't do what I did.
And I wanted to say...
Which is what everybody ends up doing. Yeah.
And I wanted to say that because of this is a little plug for FetLife, because of the popularity of FetLife, it seems to be a gateway tool for a lot of people. And in any city There's right. going to be self-proclaimed leaders, munch leaders, mm-hmm. so forth and so on. No one person knows it all. So reach out, talk to as many different people right. as you can.
And if you're meeting somebody online in particular and they're not from your area, reach out to those people. It's such a small world. There is someone who knows this person that you are now talking to as a prospective dominant or a prospective submissive.
It's not like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's much, no. much shorter path yes. between people.
Yes.
Last night, you and I were having dinner.
Yes.
At a munch.
Yes.
A very well-attended munch for nothing but new people.
Yes.
And older people go, the more experienced go, to right. provide these a more one-on-one interaction mm-hmm. for these new guests. And we had the fortune of sitting with two new young ladies.
Yes.
One of which found the munch through a website. And
right.
not through the FetLife even. And a lot of our conversation focused on educating these
yes.
these women on safety.
Right.
On the need to network. And some of the sharing a few of our bloopers that we had done and urging them to learn from these experiences.
I think people have that. I mean, I know I did. We had that desire. Well, how can I be a submissive or a slave if I don't have a master? So I've got to find a master. Got to have them. I'm not a slave if I don't have a master. That
no.
is not.
It is the culture that you have to have a partner for completion.
Yes, and it is so not true.
So not true. But that's experience we learn with yes. our years.
Yes. But don't reach out, because when you've tied yourself down to that most perfect master, you don't know how many you've missed that have walked by.
And you're on most perfect master number 14 or 15?
Oh, yeah, at least. Actually, now I know they're not perfect.
So you're still looking for the most perfect?
No, actually, I'm not. I don't even want the most perfect anymore.
You want the best fit for you.
Yes.
And that's what we always should be striving for.
Yes.
Best fit for us. Pat, well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Oh, just if you're just new and finding out about this, please stay safe. Please reach out, like I just said. And I'd just like to thank everybody out there for being so wonderful.
You have given us a great gift.
You are wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Pat.
Thank you.
And just a quick update to Slave Pat's journey. She is now in service to Master Trish. Congratulations.
You have been listening to episode 41 of the Kinky Cast. Today we heard Slave Pat. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody and the Beast, I'm Max. Next week we talk about playstyles and hookups.